This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here, Maryland. I almost said the old name of the old show. It's the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Yes, it is, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we had Letha Grimes from Maryland Department of Natural Resources last hour and talked about the fishing event at the Choptank River, Bill Burton Choptank River Fishing Pier today. On the Talbot County side, a great family event. It's also a free fishing day today, next Saturday, and the 4th of July. No license required. So take your kids out, and you can go fishing. Get that old fishing rod and reel out of the back of the closet there, or out of the basement, and go out and enjoy yourself today. No licenses needed, and get back into fishing. Tomorrow you'll need a license, but not today. So we hope you get to go out and enjoy the great outdoors, that's for sure. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Our last caller there was concerned about DNR seizing and euthanizing white-tailed deer that people find. And I could hear him laughing at me in the background, and that's fine. If you want to laugh at me, that's fine. But, you know, if you don't know anything and you'd like to put your ignorance on parade, we welcome you to do so. We are a equal opportunity radio station here. And, you know, I try not to get into a battle of wits with people who are unarmed, but sometimes it happens. So if you want to call and ask a question, that's fine. But if you don't know, you know, we'll try to help you out. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. 1-800-WCBM-680. 1-800-922-6680. Our producer of this hour is Patrick. We want to thank Brian the last hour for doing a good job with the calls. And so here we are. I'm starting to become a little more alive. For those of you who didn't hear the first hour, been a long week. The alarm failed again today. Normally I have George Norrie shouting at me on my alarm to get me awake, but the alarm failed, and so at 4:45 I woke up. Brian called 5 minutes later and made sure I was up and moving, and we did make it here on time. Rusty in Catonsville. Good morning, Rusty. How are you?
Hey, Al.
What's up?
Just want to talk about the water quality in the bay.
Okay.
I was out. I do a lot of chicken necking.
Okay.
And I was out Memorial Day.
Yep.
Weekend. I was down by Sandy Point.
Okay.
And the water looked like a rust color down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand from some other guys that it's been going up the bay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering what was going on with it. I think I heard last week something about a big fish kill.
Well, we've had a number of fish kills, yeah. And what happens is you get the pulse of fresh water rushing into the bay, creates almost an instant algae bloom. The algae sucks the oxygen out of the water, and the fish don't have time to get out of there. So the rusty color you're looking at is almost like what they call a red tide, you know. I don't know if you've heard of those or not, but
yeah, I've seen a red tide before. This is a little bit different. I think it was like a red tide was more like a little milky type water.
Yeah, but I mean, the principle is the same. It's a lack of salinity, and it causes an algae bloom to take place. The algae, of course, you know, will just totally shut down the oxygen in an area. You know, sometimes they call them, what do they call the zone, a dead zone or something like that. The fish are trapped there in water that they can't breathe in. So it's like you and I being trapped underwater. It's like them being trapped out of the water.
And it causes
a fish kill. The larger fish don't seem to get caught in it, you know, as much as the smaller fish because, you know, they just...
Well, is this more in the bay area? What about the creeks?
Well, the creeks get it, too. I mean, the mouths of the creeks are places where fish kills take place when there's a sudden pulse of massive storms like we had yesterday. I expect to see more fish kills this weekend and in the next week as we get these massive flash flood runoffs. You know, those are things that happen. Sometimes the turbidity in the water is caused by silt being washed away, which fills up the little gills and that type of thing. And mostly you're going to find smaller fish that are affected by this. But, you know, silt, they can't breathe mud. And their gill filaments get filled up, too. So we'll have more of those answers when Rudy Lukakovich comes on next week, and we'll ask him about that. But I know the department listens, too, and maybe there's some biologists out there that can answer your question a little better than I can. But how is the crabbing?
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could find some clean water.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah. What size were your crabs?
Legal size. Not too many large ones. And
yeah.
But they were pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Well, usually I see a lot of larger crabs in the beginning of the year than I do later in the year. But this year, most of them are just legal size.
That's what we're hearing up and down the bay. And you know, the restaurants and the crab pickers are bringing in a lot of crabs from right now. A lot of them are coming from North Carolina that are being picked and served in restaurants and things like that. The folks in the bay, especially in mid bay, are having a little bit of trouble. From what I can understand, there are some crabs in the lower part of the bay, but it depends on the day. I mean, it's. When the crabs are there, it's a good way to make a living. When they're not, it's a tough way to make a living.
Yep, you just got to find them.
Yep. So, but
I've been running in and out of creeks looking for some clear water.
Yeah.
And it's
good. Good luck this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you get hit by the storm yesterday?
Yeah.
Who didn't?
Yeah. Well, I think we need some rain.
I left Falston yesterday. Route 152, about a half hour before the big storm hit there. I mean, it was just starting to rain when I left there, and all the way down Harford Road, it was treacherous as far as the amount of rain. What time was it? 5-ish, 5:30, somewhere in there. And my daughter had already been without power, and I hit the torrential rains all the way through. I'd been on the shore, the upper shore, most of the day, and most of the day, I would say from, you know, Centerville up. And it was not bad over there. It was pretty windy there most of the day, but I guess they got hit a little later on after I was already home. So, but
they had tornado watch.
Yeah, we had a number of tornadoes touch down. I know one touched down up there in Falston and a couple in Carroll County and Damascus and I don't know where else. So I'm sure there are a lot of people in Carroll County and in that tornado zone that are out of power and can't hear us this morning. But let me ask you, Rusty, are you trot lining? Are you using traps, or what are you using?
Trot line.
Yeah. What's your bait?
Chicken necks.
Chicken necks.
Bull lips.
Yeah. All right.
Depending on how lazy I get, if I put some bull lips on there, that's good for a couple trips. Chicken necks don't last long.
Yeah, bull lips are they're pretty strong, aren't they? Yeah, I'll never forget one of the first times I saw somebody with a trot line. They had it all rolled up in a bushel basket and had salted eel on it, and it had been there since the previous season. And I said, "Your bait's a little dried up." That's all right. Water will soak it up. They'll still bite it, like from year to year. Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, okay. It just surprised me that somebody would let their bait go from 1 year to the next.
Well, I haven't done them year to year.
No, I know.
About half the summer.
Yeah.
Bull lips.
Yeah, bull lips and salted eel work good, and it's, it's reasonable. Just don't keep it in the house, right?
No, you put it in the freezer.
Yeah, exactly.
one more question.
Yes, sir.
Light tackle for some stripers.
Yeah.
I know a couple of buddies of mine have been using artificial bait. They haven't been doing too bad on that.
Right.
But what's a good depth if you're out by the bay bridge?
What, fishing the pilings there?
Yeah. Or out by the bridge.
Yeah, out by the bridge, out by the bay bridge. Well, I would anchor. I would anchor and above the bridge, depending on the tide, I guess. And, unless you want to keep the boat moving and just keep using bucktail jigs, maybe with a white twister on it or something like that. If you're going to use artificials, maybe something with a little chartreuse on it, maybe a little shad, a plastic shad on a jig head. And I'd work those pilings. As far as the depth is concerned, if you let it get all the way to the bottom, you're going to lose a lot of rigs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of rigs. But, if you got a depth finder on the boat, find out how deep you are and then count your bait down. You usually figure 1 second of 1 second equals 1 foot as far as depth is concerned. Now, of course, tidal flow can have a lot to do with that. But, if you're in 12 feet of water, you want to count down to 10, get it, just off the bottom and then keep it moving. I don't know if that's helpful or not. I mean, it's kind of a play with it until you get a hit and then do the same thing over again, if you can remember.
Yep.
So, I mean, does that answer your question? I don't know if it...
For the most part, it's more or less a hit and miss and just see what you can do while you're...
Yeah, I mean, the fish are going to hit the bait. They're going to hit it either, right at the boat, or they're going to hit it right on the fall. So you got to pay attention and kind of let your bait fall on a tight line.
Yep. I caught more of my fish right on the side of the boat than I have.
Yeah, an official, once you work that jig, they'll follow that all the way up, and when they get close to the surface, it's decision time for them. And a lot of people, what they'll do, and what I've done in the past, is I'll work that bait in, and I'll get it to where I'm just about ready to see it. I'll pause it and let it fall for a second or two right there at the end of the retrieve, and a lot of times they'll take it right there.
Good idea.
Yeah, okay. Just, before, instead of just pulling it, just reeling it in and popping it out of the water, just, the last 10 feet or something like that, just stop it and let it sink for a second and then pop it. And a lot of times that'll trigger a strike.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Does that help?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Rusty.
Hey, I can't wait to see your new magazine come out.
Well, any pictures that you might have as far as your crabbing is concerned? If you've taken any pictures on the boat with crabs, eating crabs, any of our listeners out there, send them to me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, with the information. Give me the names and, where and when. It doesn't matter when you did it. It doesn't matter last year, year before, whatever. I'd love to publish those pictures for you of our listeners and put them in the magazine. So it's going along well. It's a tough sell. But we've got a lot of good folks working with us, and we're happy to have them. So
fantastic!
All right, Rusty.
All right, man. Love your show, man.
And hey, any tips or techniques, send them along. Any recipes, Ellis@ellisoutdoors is the email.
I think so. I got some good crab souffle recipe.
Send it to me, Rusty. Send it, man. I can't wait to see that. All right, buddy. Email's Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
You got it.
And keep listening. We got a couple folks who want to talk about fishing and water quality on the air. Okay?
All right, buddy.
Thanks. See you. Bye-bye. There he goes. Where'd he go? Did we get him? Mike in Dundalk. Good morning. Mike, you still with me? Hello, Mike. Mike had to wait. Michael in Rock Hall.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing, man?
Good. Enjoy your show.
Thanks. What's up? I was just in your town yesterday.
Yeah, it's good. Don't tell anybody about it.
About Rock Hall?
Yeah.
Kidding. Well, I got to tell you, the there's some good folks there.
Oh yeah.
There's some good folks in Rock Hall, but in general, you know, you folks want the tourists, but you don't like them. I'm trying to be honest with you, you know.
It's just a local joke. I mean, we want them. We just want them to go home.
That's what I'm talking about. So what's up?
It's a great place to visit.
Yep.
I think it was Rusty that was just calling.
Yeah, Rusty.
Water quality. Listen, I just wanted to add to what you said. It's the fresh water bringing the nitrogen.
Exactly.
That's
yep.
feeding the algae.
Yes.
And then the algae bloom and
yes.
die and
yes.
from all the oxygen.
Exactly.
So to all your listeners, boaters, waterfowl hunters alike, our mission is to reduce the amount of nitrogen. Get our legislators to continue to take steps to reduce the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus and sediment entering the bay.
Right.
And one of the positive things that's happening in that regard is EPA has gotten involved finally and instituted the TMDLs, which you're probably familiar with.
I am, yeah.
Total maximum daily load.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even now a threat to that. There's a congressman in Virginia by the name of Goodlatte. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly,
mm-hmm.
who's got an amendment circulating to essentially gut the TMDLs, take the money away from funding or implementing the TMDLs. So
mm-hmm.
if people are concerned about water quality, they ought to contact their...
Well, here's I agree with everything you said there, Michael, as far as the nitrogen and phosphorus. But the truth of the matter is... you can't blame all of it on the farmers.
No.
Which tends to be what the government does when it gets involved. It tends to take a look at the farmers and say, well, you put fertilizer on your field, therefore you are responsible for the algae blooms in the Chesapeake Bay. Let's put a little blame where it belongs to some of the municipalities
sure.
and their gray water systems and that type of thing.
The reason there's so much focus on the farmers is because that's the majority of the land mass, and therefore, logically, that's where the majority of the nitrogen and phosphorus...
If you think it's just runoff, which it is not, will you agree?
It is runoff both surface and subsurface.
Mm-hmm.
It's the excess nitrogen and phosphorus that the crop doesn't use will eventually make its way into the bay, no matter what part of Maryland or Pennsylvania or Virginia.
Oh, exactly. I understand that. But again, the gray water facilities, the wastewater facilities in our municipalities around the bay with the phosphorus and the nitrogen that are in our cleaning products has a tremendous amount to do with it as well, does it not?
Yes, yes. All sources have to be reduced if we're going to restore the bay.
But unfortunately, people want clean dishes and clean clothes and clean bodies, and they don't understand that the nitrogen and phosphorus contents of their detergents and their cleaning products that either, you know, go down the shower or go down the sink or out through the washing machine are part of the problem, not part of the solution.
There are obviously steps that everyone can do to minimize their impact. Fortunately, we're upgrading the wastewater treatment plants, the largest wastewater treatment plants, and that's what the part of the flush tax, I guess the largest part of the flush tax here in Maryland, funds. So by implementing the best available technology at the wastewater treatment plants, the nitrogen discharges...
Mm-hmm. is... How many wastewater treatment plants are being upgraded, Michael?
Not enough.
I know, but do you know how many?
No, it's the ones that discharge 500,000 gallons a day, I believe, is the
mm-hmm.
targeted amount.
I mean, can you point to any example? I mean, any in Baltimore City, any in some of the major cities around? Can you tell us which ones are being upgraded as we speak? Which ones are being fitted?
I can over here
uh-huh.
On the Eastern Shore. I do not know definitively which ones have been upgraded on the Western Shore. And that's something else to contact, you know, your representatives about. Get them going.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, I appreciate that. I just, I don't know what you didn't say it, and I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but a lot of times the farmers get blamed for a lot of different things.
They do, and I will say that the farmers are responding positively.
Yes, they are.
They're doing a lot. They're making great strides. The cover crops, the precision agriculture are all reducing the amount of loading coming from agriculture. And you're right, we need to reduce the loading coming from other sources as well. And,
right.
And wastewater and lawns are certainly part of the problem.
Sure. Okay. Michael, appreciate you calling in. Now, do you have a position in government or in the private industry that deals with water quality?
No, just a interest and love of the Chester River.
Gotcha. All right, sir. Appreciate the call.
Anytime. Enjoy your show.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye. There he goes. We got Mike in Finksburg. Was Mike in Finksburg the one that dropped off earlier? Mike in somewhere else. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's up?
Hey, I'm going to take my grandson, Jason, fishing today.
Good for you.
And he's looking forward to that. He is a good fisherman. He's only six, but he can do everything except for bait the hook. He takes them off the hook. He does everything.
Yeah, that's cool.
One thing you got to do, though, Alan, you got to get a 5-gallon bucket and put some clean water and put your fish in there for just an hour.
Yeah.
And the kids, they get bored with fishing.
Oh, yeah, they like to play with the fish in the bucket.
Yeah, they play with them. He kisses them. He talks to them. He does whatever. And I got a pond. We let them go in there. Some, I tell them, if they got a black spot on them, they got to go back. And, all bluegills have black spots on them.
Right. That's funny.
I don't want to put big fish in my pond because I only got so much pond.
Right.
He's cool. A good little guy. I just want to tell you that.
Good. Free fishing day today and next week and the 4th of July. No license needed, so everybody go fishing.
Yeah.
All right.
And I wanted to tell you one more thing, okay?
Okay.
I was up Pools, Kevin Poole.
Yeah.
Who's taking over his dad's business.
Right.
And he is going to be ready this year because he's doing a lot of stuff.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Yep. Good deal. Glad to hear that. So.
No, too, Alan. He's doing real good. And,
good.
He is a good guy, man.
All right, man. Sounds good.
And I'll see you.
All right, Mike. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Bye-bye. There he goes. Hey, Rick, I'm sorry. Let's take Rick, and then we'll do the break, and then we'll move on. Rick, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Alan. Good morning.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Yeah, I called about 3-4 weeks ago, about using pieces of stocking on the trot line for crabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody tried it or what. Kind of curious, because as soon as I get a chance, I like to go out and try it,
Yeah, pieces of what was it?
The stocking.
Oh, the stocking, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on a chicken net.
Yep. I don't know. You're going to try it? They have these net bags out there that the commercial guys use and some of the recreational guys use them to put the razor clams in.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've seen those or not. They're made out of orange netting. And
right.
you put your razor clams in there and you tie them shut. And you use them in your pots and that type of thing. And of course, the movement of the razor clams attracts the crabs. The crabs crack the razor clams open and eat them inside the pot. That's what the commercial guys are using are razor clams. But the chicken neck and the stocking thing, I think that's a great idea.
Well, I like to try. I'm curious if anybody would give it a shot or not. I've been telling the words. The crabmen's,
Rick, do you have email?
Yeah.
Take some pictures of your idea. Send it to me.
All right. That'll work.
Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com next time you go out. But if you're going out this week, get it to me as quick as you can, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. I'm curious for myself,
Yep. And any crab recipes or photos you have of you and your crabs, kids and crabs, somebody measuring crabs, all that stuff. We can use all that.
Sure.
Thanks,
that'd
man.
Be good.
Appreciate
it. Right,
thanks,
good
Rick.
Day.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes. We do have to take a break, and I do have to get caught up here a little bit, folks. So let's do a couple here and talk about a couple of our sponsors. Bayline X of Glen Burnie. Yes, indeed. Protect your investment in your pickup truck like I did. Feel protected with a Line-X spray-on bed liner. Or you can prolong the life of your equipment. You can even protect your garage, your shop, your basement floor with the new Aspartex floor coating from Bayline-X. That's floor coating. Now, Bayline-X of Glen Burnie also offers Line-X protection that comes to you. The Bayline-X mobile unit can come to your home, your farm, your business, your job site. Apply the correct Line-X material for consumer use, commercial, industrial coatings to your deck, your trailers, your tanks, your forklifts, your lift gates, any equipment that needs protection against corrosion, chemicals, or the elements. And the Line-X materials are environmentally friendly. Bay Line Exit Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Bay Line X of Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners. Indeed, they are. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's for sure. That's right. All you have to do is go fishing. And if you are lucky enough to catch one of 60 species of fish, and it's a citation size, you're in the Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the boat, motor, and trailer combo from Bass Pro Shop, or even a vacation from the World Fishing Network, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Fishing Center up there in Garrett County. So all you got to do is stop by your local Fish and Citation Center. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details. In the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, featuring Diamond Jim, and Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish. He's worth $10,000 if you catch him by the end of June. He's out there swimming in the bay. He's tagged, waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of tagged imposters out there, too. Even they're worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green chartreuse spaghetti tag, call the number on the tag. You might have just captured a $10,000 prize. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov for the Maryland 2012 Fishing Challenge, this year honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. Are you feeling lucky?
This is the Wall Street Journal report. I'm Jim Blydkamp. If you're worried about trying to sell your home in this buyer's market, adopting some simple staging tips from the pros can help your home sell faster. There's not always a need to call in a professional for this job. There's much you can do on your own. For one thing, MarketWatch reporter Amy Hoke says don't be afraid to use your TV in the way you would use artwork.
A flat screen TV mounted to the wall in a size appropriate for the space, it can kind of function as a piece of art in a living room. If you put on, you know, maybe a simple silent slideshow of nature images, that can actually work to your advantage.
And don't forget to remove the clutter, the personal items, family photos, and collectibles.
You know that you've removed enough. If you stand in the back of the room and nothing really stands out too much, that's really your goal. You're trying to depersonalize, declutter, make it look clean. It's going to make the room look bigger, and that's really going to work to your advantage when a buyer walks through.
You want the potential buyer to visualize himself or herself in your space. Jim Blydkamp with the Wall Street Journal report.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
One, Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. Two, turns information into insights. Three, improves efficiency. Four, easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. Five, supports online banking. Six, creates and manages budgets. What?
Six. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
What do you got for me, Doc?
The victim is male, mid-30s, cause of death, sudden shock.
Yeah, well, he was last seen browsing thousands of TV episodes and movies online with Netflix.
Explains the traces of disbelief in the brain, but this astonishment residue?
He was watching them all instantly.
Instantly? That's incredible!
Doctor? Doctor!
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms at
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
My dog Sammy's purple flower ain't got much for what we got.
dragging the line. Man, I don't know. If you're dragging the line today for striped bass, the big ones are probably pretty much gone at this point. But, hey, you may get lucky. You never know. All right, let's see. Got an email from a friend that got a call from somebody who, well, wait a minute here. What's going on? Okay. A guy moved from Baltimore County to Caroline County. Got a call, called my buddy who's an animal damage control guy and said he was concerned about the howling in his backyard in Caroline County. He said he was afraid to let his cat out, his dog out. Didn't know if, you know, he had a small dog. Didn't know if there was a coyote out there. And my buddy said if the cat and the small dog made it back to the house and had not disappeared into the night, like vanished, then he did not have coyotes, but perhaps a red fox, gray fox, or a raccoon, because all of them can make terrific noises. So, and he advises us that coyotes don't miss, especially a small dog, and surely not any house cat. So it is that time of year when the pups are starting to grow. The adults are still hunting and teaching the fox and the coyote pups how to catch prey. So it might be advisable, if you do have a small pet, to keep them inside at night. So, hey, and another one from Tackle Box Tim. Smallmouth bass and sunfish in the gunpowder downriver from Bel Air Road must be biting. Smallmouth were taking a little crankbait called a crick hopper, twitched on the surface. Oh, 3-inch stick worms and 3-inch tubes with an 1/8 ounce weight inserted in the tube. The sunfish were hitting spinners and crick hoppers. Good advice, Tim. Let the river calm down some after last night's storm, but it's a good start to the season. And Tackle Box Tim Sherman enjoyed the water quality talk about the guy from the Chester River. Shame about the harbor and the white perch spots on the outside of the Key Bridge is where Tim loves to fish. So just give you a little fishing update there. It's starting. Fishing season's getting going pretty good. It's slow in some places, and it's good in others. So if you have a fishing report or a crabbing report, we'd love to hear from you at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. This is the Outdoorsman radio show that you're listening to. We are working on the, at the same time, concurrently, we are working on Maryland Loves Crabs, the new crab magazine coming out, hopefully coming to a crab shack near you. And the website is www.mdlovescrabs.com. The magazine has not been printed yet. We're working diligently around the state of trying to attract advertisers from crab shacks and manufacturers and restaurants and things like that. And we've got some folks that are responding to us very well. We're also looking for your pictures, recipes, photos of and stories of your crabbing adventures. We'd like to get pictures of people eating crabs and catching crabs and recreational and commercial, by the way, recreational and commercial. So if we've got some watermen listening that would like to contribute, we'd like to hear from you, too. If you'd like to write an editorial or a piece for us, we'd love to have that. And you can email all of that to ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Now, the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, our fall issue's coming up. Of course, we've got an early archery season this year. Archery season starts September 7th, the first Friday after Labor Day. And our August, September, October, that's our fall issue, will be out on August 1st. So if you'd like to send us your pictures of your spring turkey or your last year's deer or, waterfowl, whatever, any outdoors-oriented subject matter, again, maybe recipes, photos, you can send those to the same email address. That's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And the website there is MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. Maryland Hunting Quarterly, that's all spelled out, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. And you can read the entire summer issue, and I think even the spring issue is available to read online. You just click on the magazine, and it takes you right to the page where you can read the entire magazine online. There's some outdoor news there. There's some links to our advertisers. So we're looking for, forward to seeing your information on that. Ellis, that's my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com. Andy, Catonsville, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Good. Just send pictures of the crabs. Just send them to
Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay. Yeah,
yep.
I had some. I was crabbing with my little 15-foot aluminum boat in Marshby Creek, and you can see the bow of the boat and all. And I was using crab rings, and the seagull came, and of all things, just landed right on the front of the boat. Stayed for a while. I got some photos with a sailboat in the backyard around.
Cool, man.
And he got ready to leave, and I threw him a chicken neck. But if you'd tried to get that photo, you'd never got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's real interesting. You know, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
I wish I'd been able to. That lady is a freshwater biologist. You know what concerns me a little bit in a Patapsico? Right there, you know, off of Route 1 and all.
Yeah.
There used to be a lot of fish in there, and when they put the trout in, naturally they clean them up and they fish. But religiously, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, I ride through there early in the morning, and, you know, with the right glasses and all, I see very few fish.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay.
And it used to be, everybody talked about gudgeons and all when you
yeah.
first came on back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
They used to catch gudgeons and everything, and they're taking the dams down. The water quality seems to be good. People are swimming in it, and if it was polluted, they would test it and not let them go in it, you know?
That's true, yeah. Okay.
You know? But I was glad to hear they're going to have another free fishing day. Tony Tockerman, I don't know, you know, put it in a paper that they should have more of them.
Well, I agree with him. Yeah, I agree. It's 3 a year.
Because like if a man wants to take a kid fishing and a kid needs a license and a guy, that's $50.
I agree. Well, a kid's free under 16.
Under 16, but if you got one, it's 16.
Yeah, I know.
And you buy less. Of course, they got money for the games and the computers.
Ah, there you go. How much is it to go to a movie today?
You know, my neighbor is from Denmark. His wife's from Singapore, and they had some coupons. Their children are little, you know, to go to movies.
Yeah.
And it was free. But the popcorn and the sodas cost them $60.
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I agree with you, man.
That's ridiculous. Like when they took them to the circus, and the circus always used to have, you know, some gadgets you bought and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you're going to buy cotton candy, and they put a hat with it, $20.
I understand.
You know, crabs seem to be doing, you know, real well. One of your advertisers over there got in 600 peelers a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
600 peelers. That's a lot of peelers.
Yeah, and the one guy did crabs. Said he got like 10 bushel. And he,
oh, are you talking about Clyde's? I bought some of those.
Yeah,
bought some of those. Yep, that's what I caught legal rockfish on our trip last week.
Yeah, so, yeah. Billy,
it was delicious.
Corn. Yeah. So. But, I'm concerned about the water quality. But, you know, Back River, and they've been paying a fine. The city's been paying, I don't know how much the fine is. And
yeah.
All, they've been dumping now for quite a few years. And the budget came out to rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, they used the money somewhere else.
Hey, Andy, take a trip up Back River till you can't go any further.
Yeah.
There's a wall of garbage there.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I'm not talking about there's a little dump back there. There is an immense wall of garbage from the landfill, and all that water filters through that landfill.
Sure.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
I don't know. I listen to the politicians. You know,
oh, Andy, come on. Go out and see for yourself, man.
I'll tell you.
All right. Hey, buddy, thanks for the call.
Take care.
Send me that picture.
I will.
See you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
There he goes. Let's talk to John in York. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Hey, Alan. How's it going?
Hey, John. Good to see you. Good to hear from you. How you been?
Hanging in there. I listen to you every Saturday.
I know. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, did you get that video I sent you about the bass tournament?
I did, yes.
What'd you think of that?
That's pretty cool.
Bass, bass, right?
Bass, yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I started out to Hanover last week to get a pit-pea sandwich, which is something we don't have a lot of here in Pennsylvania, but all
right.
Over down there in Maryland.
Right.
And I saw a whole field full of turkeys the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
Turkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Any little ones? Were there any little ones?
Oh, there's some little ones, but there were some big ones. There was probably, I don't know, close to 20 of them out there all together.
Yeah.
it's something to see.
I like to know that the poult survived, especially in the wet weather. You know what happens is when you get a wet spring, you have the turkey population. I mean, there's some that survive as always, but the little ones, if they get wet when they're tiny, they have no way to shed the water, and then it gets cold at night. And they die of exposure. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but they have no way to shed the water. They're not like ducks; they don't have any oil in their feathers. So, and that's
as eaten. I hear that wild turkeys are very bony, and they're not.
Wild turkeys are delicious. Wild turkeys taste just like a domestic turkey.
They are okay.
Yep.
I get into that sometimes.
Well, you kill a 25-pound turkey. It's a 25-pound turkey.
Oh yeah.
It just doesn't have a lot of fat on it, so.
There's not a lot of fat on it, you said.
Right.
How much meat do you get out of it? 25 pounds, you're getting roughly the same amount of weight as the bird itself?
No, you're probably going to lose, 6, 8, 10 pounds with the head and the skin and the feet and that type of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, 25-pound bird, you'll probably get a 15-pound bird out of it. I've never, that's a good question. That's a good question to ask because I don't know the answer. I can tell you almost to the pound on a deer, but I can't tell you on a. So.
What was the percentage on a deer again? What do you get out of the meat?
About 50% of lean edible meat.
50%.
About 50%. You kill 200-pound deer, you can wind up with 100-pound of meat.
Because
you got the head, you got the bones, you got the blood, you got the hide, you got the feet, the hooves, you know, all that. All that weighs up, and then. Of course, if you make a bad shot, you got to trim all that out too. But most people wind up with about 50%.
Gotcha. And then with the birds, so you do any turkey hunting?
I was out the first day, didn't do any good, and that's the only opportunity I had. So,
yeah, I'd like to get you up here and show you the gun club. I know we talked about.
Yeah, we'll do that, John. I got to tell you, I am just jammed, and maybe we get into fall a little bit. We'll take you up on that deal.
Hey, good deal. Hey, one last question for you. Still driving a Ford?
I'm still driving a Ford. Bob Davidson's contract came to an end, and they're on temporary hiatus from what they tell me. So we'll see how that goes. But, I'm still getting 19.3 miles a gallon. So.
I hear you.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. See you later. There he goes. We're going to take a break here real quick, but let's talk to Herb in Catonsville. Good morning, Herb. Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you.
I'm here every week, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I listen to you every week.
I hear you.
I've
What's
spoken
up?
To you under another name.
Oh.
I have two questions. One is, when would I start chumming? And
now?
At the Stone Rock or out of Chesapeake Beach? Or
now? A lot of guys are chumming now with razor clams.
Oh. Chum bags wouldn't work?
Chum bag would work, yeah. Clyde's just got in razor clams, but most sporting goods stores carry them now.
Mm-hmm. What do you do, bust them and toss them over?
No, you put them in a bag.
Oh.
Put them in a bag. You can crack them if you want, but, you know, you want to crack one open, put one on your hook, and then you can crack them up, put them in a bag if you want, but most of the guys are chumming with the razor clams.
But what do they cost for, like, a four-hour chum?
Oh, I don't know. That Clyde sells them by the bushel. I think they're $50 a bushel, or maybe half a bushel's like $30, a quarter bushel's like $20, and then you can buy the bag too for $4 or $5. I can't remember what he's selling them for.
All right, so for 4 hours, a bushel would be fine.
Oh, a bushel would be great. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a half bushel. So.
Okay.
All right.
Also, I have another question.
Go ahead.
My father passed away.
I'm sorry to hear
that. We're cleaning out, and I find his military 1911 ACP. I'm concerned about...
Don't do anything with it other than treasure it. Don't do anything with it.
No, I don't want to sell it or anything, but I was thinking about maybe taking it somewhere to have it cleaned and...
Sure.
...made functional.
Yeah, any reputable gunsmith.
Okay, am I allowed, because is that an antique gun? Would that be considered?
Herb, I'm not sure what that is. It's going to be unregistered, which
right.
is fine. And I would just take it somewhere and explain it. I can tell you, Clyde's has a great gunsmith.
Right.
If you
Clyde's
wanna,
is close to where I live.
If you want to give him a call, give him a call first and see what they have to say. I'm not the expert on that.
Okay.
All right.
Do you see my concern?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, we got a couple callers on the line, but I do have to take a break. Tell you about our new sponsor, Sunrooms, Inc., and that stands for Incorporated. A sunroom is where you can read or entertain your friends or family year-round in a relaxing, stress-free setting. You can eat your crabs out there. You can watch the weather go by. The talented craftsmen at Sunrooms, Inc. can make your ideas come alive in a tailor-made all-season sunroom that blends with your home and provides a climate-controlled room where you can enjoy nature even on the worst days, like yesterday. Sunrooms, Inc., has years of experience and uses the most up-to-date energy-efficient materials and windows. I've personally visited a Sunrooms, Inc. job site and watched as they constructed a custom Energy Star-rated sunroom with a lifetime warranty for a homeowner in Anne Arundel County. I got to say, as an aside here, I was very impressed with the materials, the windows, the dimensions of the walls and the structure. Simply put, Sunrooms, Inc. has the best sunroom technology, the most sunroom options, custom sunroom installation, a lifetime warranty on all sunrooms, and certified installers. Sunrooms, Inc. can visit you and give you an estimate anywhere in Maryland, Delaware, Southern Pennsylvania. Visit the website. That's sunroomsinc.net or call toll-free 800-725-1380, 800-725-1380 to learn more about your new sunroom. How about that? Hey, Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland, 410-360-0573. All the fishing and crabbing supplies that you can need, want, or imagine. They've got the custom-tied bucktails. They've got the live bait. They've got the crab baits. They've got the those great lifetime crab steamers, those stainless steel steamers. You never need to buy another steamer. Bushel, bushel and a half, and half bushel sizes. Crabbing supplies, rods, reels, lures, lure making supplies, and all of the above. Just take Route 100 all the way to the end, hit Mountain Road, headed 2.5 miles out to Pasadena, Maryland, and give them a call for an accurate and up-to-date fishing report, 410-360-0573. And lest we not forget, one of our favorite places to go in all of Baltimore is Tochterman's Fishing Tackle in downtown Baltimore. 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, right there, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. We'll get you there. 1925 Eastern Avenue. Now, Tochterman's has everything you could need, want, or imagine as far as fishing is concerned. There's over 1,000 fishing rods on display, over 600 fishing reels, and experts in every aspect of fishing, from the bay to bass to freshwater to offshore to wherever you might want to travel around the country. All you need to do is ask the question, and they'll have an answer for you. They'll have the expert on hand to answer that question. A great fly fishing room, too, if you're into fly fishing, and they've got just a tremendous amount of fly fishing gear there for you and everything you need to go with it. Oh, and don't forget the bloodworms. The bloodworms are spectacular. You can almost steak them, bread them, fry them up yourself, but do what I do. Take them fishing. I mean, Miss D, she tells every bloodworm every day, hey, you're going to go fishing today. So that makes them all happy. When you take them fishing, they're ready to fish just like you are. Best bloodworms in the world. Tochterman's Fish and Tackle, 410-327-6942, 1925 Eastern Avenue, Fells Point, downtown Baltimore. First choice of fishermen in Baltimore and around the world since 1916. 410-327-6942.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we got a couple calls. We got to rip through them here. Let's talk to Butch in Joppatown. Morning, Butch. How you doing?
Fine, fine. I got a crab joke for you.
Go for it.
Why don't crabs give to charity?
I don't know.
But they're shellfish.
Thank you, Butch.
You like that one?
Yeah, can I use that?
Sure.
Because they're shellfish. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, we have time. I'll tell you my favorite crab joke, but we don't have time today. Lou in his truck. Thanks for holding. How you doing, Lou?
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm on my way to the Wine River, heading out a little late. Just wanted to see if you've had any good reports from the Wine last week.
I've heard from some of the commercial guys that the crabbing up that way is a little better, but I wouldn't say great. But do me a favor. Take some pictures and give me a crabbing report. Send me pictures of you with crabs and to Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com on the website for the radio show.
I can do that for you.
That sounds good,
hey,
man.
Got another one for you. The sport fishing license that you get with your boat.
Yep.
Does that allow you to go crabbing too? Or,
yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. And yes. One more thing, I won't keep you long. Madame Mesquite, you ever heard of it down in North Carolina?
I've heard of it, yes.
I actually got a chance to go there a couple of years ago. A fellow, my buddy of mine did a move down there from Maryland.
Right.
A couple of locals turned them on to that spot. We went down there with some chicken necks. I've never seen blue chow crabs in my life like that.
Big ones, huh?
Well, I tell you what, we caught about 3 dozen crabs. Every one of them was 6 or above. The biggest one, and I'll have to send you a picture because you got to see it to believe it, was 10 and a quarter.
Oh, man, that's giant.
Yeah
send me a picture, Lou.
Yeah, you had to fight the snapping turtles, though.
Yeah, that's...
They were eating the chicken necks like you would not believe.
I hear you. All right, buddy, thanks.
Incredible place. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lou. Bye-bye. Sorry for the short trip there. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, buddy, real quick.
I wanted to ask you, whatever happened to our blue fishing? I grew up on the Severn River, and we used to have bluefish up to 15, 16 pounders.
I know. They went away.
Now we ain't got snappers.
I know. They went away, Rick. I can't tell you what happened unless it was a rockfish coming back, eating all the bait. But they're highly migratory, and they're cyclicable. In other words, they...